And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND, staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Hi, and welcome to The Awakening. I am Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm honored to sit in for Bishop E.W. Jackson. What a great man of God and a strong voice of reason and conviction in these compromising days in which we live. So just to let you know a little bit about me, I am pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. I came to the church in February of 2003. Now, First Baptist Church is 144 years old. The first service was in 1877. And when I came to the church in 2003, the church was in desperate need of change and just a fresh touch from God. And the Lord really blessed. And so this coming February, this is amazing for a church to be 144 years old with a lot of pastors over the years. This coming February, I will have served 18 years. It's the longest tenure of any pastor in the 144-year history of the church. So, Lord willing, I'll be able to make it till February 3rd, and I'm looking forward to that milestone. Well, our church mission is loving God, loving people, and reaching the world for Christ one heart at a time. We know that the great commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we emphasize that at our church because that is what the Lord has called us to do, and then to reach people for Christ. And we do that one heart, one home at a time. Now, the Lord led me in 2005 to start a TV ministry, radio and TV ministry called From His Heart Ministries. And God has blessed that ministry. We started with very, very little, and two guys gave me two unsolicited gifts of totaling $35,000 to get the ministry off the ground. And so God has blessed that little, like the little lad's lunch, and he has used us and grown the ministry. And I am privileged to be able to share God's word, speak the truth in love to people all over the United States through From His Heart Ministries, and then all over the world through the Hillsong Network and Trinity Broadcast Network. It is a great privilege of mine for the last several years to be on American Family Radio at 6 p.m. weeknights, Central Time, and to be able to share the word with those driving home from work. Well, I think you would agree with me that we are living in uncertain times and difficult times and scary times. Many people are living in fear right now. You know, that's nothing new in terms of what the Lord has told us was going to happen. There's an old song that says, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. And the Lord didn't promise us a life of all honey and no bees. And the scripture is clear in 1 Timothy chapter 3, when the Apostle Paul, in the last letter he ever wrote, says to Timothy, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, the last days began when Jesus ascended to heaven. And if Paul lived in the last days in the 60s AD, just think how close we are. We're in the last of the last days. We are so close to the second coming of Christ. But what happens in the last days? Difficult times will come. The word for difficult in the Greek means dangerous, fierce, violent, perilous, grievous, hard to bear. And I think as we've seen things unfold in America in the last 12 months or so, we would say, man, we can see that things are difficult. And now with this regime change coming up, this new administration that doesn't appear to be friendly at all to biblical morality and to Christianity, things are going to get harder and harder for the church and for the people of God. Now, we are in a world and in a nation where there is so much racial tension. You know, today is Martin Luther King Day, and his dream speech rings in our ears. I love the line in that dream speech: "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." And I love that. But we are so far away from that today. It seems like everything and everyone is judged by the color of their skin, and we don't look at the content of somebody's character, and we're so quick to vilify one another in the media and on social media, and we throw out the, "You're a racist, you're a Nazi, you're this, you're that, you're the other." You know, Jesus said that in the last days, Matthew 24, he said, "Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." Well, we're living in a world where there's not a lot of love, but there's a tremendous amount of hate. There's a tremendous amount of vicious attacks through words and then through actions. You can ask yourself this question: well, what's the root problem here? What is going on? Why are we in this state that we are in? I think the answer is in Romans 1. You know, as a society, we've kind of told God, "We don't need you anymore. We don't want to follow your word. We don't want to follow your will. We don't want to follow your ways. We're just going to do it our own way." And so three times in Romans 1, God says that he gave them over. "Okay, you don't want me? Well, I'm going to give you over. I'm going to give you over to sexual immorality. I'm going to give you over to homosexuality. I'm going to give you over to a reprobate mind, a mind that no longer functions, a mind that can't tell the difference between who is a girl and who is a boy, a mind that doesn't understand that biological males don't need to be in biological females' locker rooms, and they don't need to be competing with biological females in sports. We're just totally, we've lost it, and we have minds that aren't able to function and aren't able to work. And with the murder of millions of babies every year in our around the world, and hundreds of thousands of babies just through Planned Parenthood every year, I mean, we've told God we want to do it our own way, and God says, "Okay, well, this is what you're going to have when you do it your own way." So we're in a difficult time, but hey, it's God's time for us. You could have been born at any time in history, but God chose for you to be born at this time so that you can be a witness for Christ, so that you can stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. You know, it's important to remember, especially when everything around us begins to change and we get nervous with all the changes and the things that we hear that are coming down the pike. It's important to remember, as believers in Jesus, our citizenship is in heaven. And the Lord has saved us out of this world, and he sent us back to this world to be a witness in this world. And that's really our only business in this world. And we stand up for righteousness, and we stand up to protect those who can't speak for themselves. And we're supposed to do that. But our main reason for being is to tell the world about Jesus, who is mighty to save. And so that is our mission, to seek and to save that which is lost, to speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. So as you see things change and things get darker and darker, just as Jesus said, "Look up and be watchful, for your redemption is drawing near." The Lord is on his way, and he is coming back to get us, and we don't need to walk around with headline hysteria. As Adrian Rogers used to say, we can say, "Praise the Lord, it's getting gloriously dark."
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Now that the state legislatures are back in session, one of the more significant functions this year will be reapportionment. After the census is completed, the states must reapportion the congressional districts. This is necessary for two reasons. First, the populations within states change. Second, the population of states vary because of migration from one state to another. Reapportionment will affect two issues. The allocation of the 435 seats in the House of Representatives is done by population within a state. Many states will lose one or more seats, while others will gain one or more seats. This will also impact the Electoral College. The number of electors is based on the number of members of Congress. According to an unofficial Census Bureau estimate, many of the blue states will lose members of the House of Representatives. For example, New York could lose one or two congressional seats depending on which estimate is used. It could lose one seat if the April 1st population estimate is used. It could lose two seats if the July 1st estimate is used. Other states that will lose a congressional representatives are California, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and West Virginia. Before I list the states that will pick up a congressional seat, we should mention that this is the first time in its history that California will lose a seat. Also consider that New York was the most populous state in the Union until 1964. It is now fourth and losing population nearly every day. The biggest winner in all of this is Texas, that will gain three additional seats. Florida will gain two. Other states to gain a seat are Arizona, Colorado, North Carolina, and Oregon. And a large number of the state legislatures doing reapportionment are controlled by Republicans. So I predict that more Republicans will be serving in Congress in the future. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of the booklet, A Biblical View on Pornography, go to viewpoints.info/pornography. That's viewpoints.info/pornography.
Pastor Robert Jeffress.
Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Imagine a giant dam that is in danger of collapsing, crumbling, and there's a village below filled with people who are in danger of being flooded. And a group of concerned townspeople go up and they push up against that dam. Then they know ultimately their effort is futile. Ultimately, that dam is going to burst. And that's really what we Christians are trying to do. We're not going to save this culture. We're not going to prevent its ultimate collapse. But we're to push back against evil for as long as we can to give people an opportunity to hear the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to be a preservative, pushing back against evil, but at the same time, we're to be sharing the light of Jesus Christ. And I believe we're to get involved and not get in our spiritual silos and wait for the end to come.
A reminder from American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here. We'll take a look at Joe Biden's America. It's not pretty. Our southern border is about to be overrun by a stampede of illegal aliens. Is Mitch McConnell financially connected to China? 13 people were executed under Trump. Is this good or bad? Alan Dershowitz says an impeachment of Trump is plainly unconstitutional. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Hi, Pastor Jeff Shreve here, sitting in for E.W. Jackson, the bishop, and so honored to be able to do that. Well, in this segment, we are very excited to be able to welcome to the broadcast a dear friend of mine, a man who has been on the airwaves for many, many years. This man has a business degree from the University of Arkansas, a Master of Theological Studies from Dallas Theological Seminary, an honorary doctorate from Trinity Evangelical Seminary. He has six wonderful children, a bunch of grandkids. He's a prolific writer, a powerful speaker, the founder of Family Life Ministries, and he was the radio host of Family Life Today. Dennis, it's so great to have you, Dennis Rainey.
Jeff, it's great to be with you. This is a great time to be alive, I'll tell you for sure.
Yes, it is, for such a time as this. Well, indeed. Dennis, can you tell us what you've been up to?
Yeah, Barbara and I just celebrated our 48th anniversary, and she's getting prettier. But I keep looking in the mirror, and it's not happening, Jeff.
You married over your head.
I did. You know my wife too, so you fully yes. or better understand that. We've had two new grandkids in the last 12 months.
All right.
Which brings our grand total to 26.
Wow.
And we need a small computer program to run the software just to send out gifts to those 26 grandchildren. When I was a boy, I used to get a $2 bill from my grandmother every birthday. Well, Barbara and I decided we'd give a $2 bill for every year they had been born. So this year we got one that's 22. He raked in some serious cash.
Yes.
And we've got a couple, one that just passed her first birthday, but another one who will be coming up on one. So they start a collection. It's amazing how many of those kids, grandkids, are saving those $2 bills and thinking about how they're going to spend them someday.
Yeah. Dennis, I had a seminary professor, my preaching professor. He had four children and 27 grandkids, and he didn't get to see them all that often, and he had trouble remembering their names.
Sometimes just asking the next time you see them what their birthdays are. I was asked to do that publicly. Name all your grandkids and give their birthdays.
Goodness.
Now, my wife might be able to do that. But that really does need a computer program at that point.
Yes.
On the ministry side, Jeff, Barbara and I are doing a lot of writing on our blogs, therainies.org and evervinehome.com. We're speaking. We're doing some mentoring of some young parents. We're leading a couple of digital ministries that we hope will be there for the next generation to be able to learn from almost 27 years of broadcasting. We've got over 6,000 broadcasts.
Wow!
With every major Christian leader in the world, and speaking about marriage and family and what the Bible has to say about it. And I believe that's timeless. And I think people are going to end up giving our websites to their kids and their grandkids as they get married to get them started in the right direction.
Amen. That's great. Well, Dennis, with all that's going on in our world with COVID and all that, how do you see that affecting the family?
Well, I think it's a call to arise and build, much like in Nehemiah's day. He was called back to the city of Jerusalem and found the walls had been broken down. And what is a family but the wall of a nation? It's a protection. It's a protection of those who grow up within the family, but also a protection for those who make up all the families in the culture. And I think it's time for us to take a step back and say, how do we strengthen the most basic unit of civilization? How do we strengthen the first institution God created in Genesis chapter 1? He made them male and female. He called them to get married. And how do we bless the next generation and send them off on a mission? And I think it's the family where that occurs, Jeff. If we drop the ball there, there will be another generation that does not know the Lord and is
right.
in need of missionaries reaching out to them.
Yeah, that's a scary proposition as we see, you know, the baton it needs to be passed. And just like in a relay race, if you drop the baton, you're out. And I encourage our church. I used a baton not too long ago in a sermon and said, you know, that's on this generation to tell the next generation to put their faith and trust in Christ, and for moms and dads to make sure your mission field is first and foremost your children.
You know, if every mom and dad in the country who profess to follow Jesus Christ woke up in the morning with the burden of entrusting the truth of God and the truth about God to the next generation, I think we would see a grassroots revival within years. It would come to us in the form of young people who are growing up with a conscience, with a moral center, who know what it means to be a man, a woman, and also a mission, the Great Commission. And if you take a look at what's happening around the country right now, I'm thinking back to Francis Schaeffer, who wrote a book called How Then Shall We Live?
Yes.
And I think it's time for every follower of Christ, every follower of Christ, every listener who's hearing this broadcast, to ask the question, in response to what they see taking place, the violence, the chaos, the lies, the hatred, we ought to ask the question, what's my responsibility? How then should we live as individuals, as couples, and as a family unit? And we need to get on mission and stay on mission because the world is desperate to see a model of how God's love works within a broken relationship between two people. We're all broken. Husbands and wives are broken. We're selfish. We're sinful. And we need the Lord to take our brokenness and turn it into something beautiful, something that honors Him.
Amen. You know, it says in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Mm-hmm. Dennis, I think with everything that's going on right now, it is a major wake-up call to believers to say, you got to get off the fence of compromise. You got to be all in for Jesus, and you got to be a soldier of the cross and be willing to suffer hardship for Jesus in these difficult days that we're going to be facing.
A number of weeks ago, I wrote a blog entitled, The Middle of the Road is No Place to Be. And the idea came to me when I came home from work, and Barbara said, you're not going to believe what happened today. I was on my way. We live in the country, and she said I was on my way to run errands in the city. And I turned past the corner and started going down the highway at 35, 40 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, I look up, and there standing in the middle of the road was a toddler in Pampers. No shirt, no shoes, nothing. Barbara said, I slammed on the brakes. Other cars were coming in other directions. They slammed on the brakes. Barbara started running toward that little toddler, and she didn't make it to the toddler in time. Her mother did. And wow. I'm sure that little toddler that day found out the middle of the road is not a place to be as a toddler, as a teenager, or as an adult. And I think, Jeff, you hit the nail on the head. I think it's time for Christians to decide, what do we believe is the truth of God that talks about how we live, and the truth about God, which explains Him to the next generation. And I think that assignment of explaining God to the next generation must be, and I referred to this earlier, it must be like a 50-pound sack of flour on our backs when we get up in the morning. How can I instruct my children that this God is not a weak God? Even though evil is compounding daily, it seems, God is in control. He reigns, and we need to introduce Him to the God who reaches out to broken people in the gospel of Jesus Christ and performs redemption. That's the great message that is needed today.
Amen. You know, Dennis, I've been thinking of the scripture in Ezekiel, how the Lord says repeatedly in Ezekiel, then they will know that I am the Lord. And so I've been praying in these days that the Lord would really show Himself as mighty and strong, the God who answers prayer, the God who's alive. Because in America, we've forgotten that God is God. So many of us don't. We may pray, we may go to church, but we don't really see that God is in charge of all things. A sparrow doesn't even fall to the ground unless God allows that to happen. And we have access to the throne of grace, to the one who loves us, to the one who makes all the difference in the world.
One of my adult children and I passed emails back and forth to each other this morning, and this particular child was grousing about face masks and just the condition of COVID-19 and how it's been handled and all that. And I just gently pushed back and I said, you know what the great need today is to wear those masks. And when God gives us a chance to speak about the good news that redeems the souls of people and shares with people how they can repent and draw near to God.
Amen.
It's my turn.
Hey, what's
Here
the
host,
what's the 800 number?
Turn, Don Wildman.
For the love of money is the root of all evils.
Yes.
It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. Well, don't give up on people. There's still goodness left in some of them.
Ms. I'll take
Jean
calls
Carden
in the final segment.
Ms. Carden was walking down a Los Angeles sidewalk one day when she found $100 on the street. She carried it to the police station and turned it over to the authorities. So what's so great about that, you ask? Well, I would agree that there would be several who would do likewise. But Mrs. Carden was something of a special case in my book. Why? Well, for the simple reason that at the time she found the money, she didn't have enough money for a bus ticket to the police station 10 blocks away. In fact, she was flat broke. So she walked the 10 blocks to the station to turn the money in. And to top it all off, she didn't even have a job. Why did she do it? I just followed my impulse, she said. Her impulse told her it was the right thing to do. She went on to add another comment. Some people tell me I was foolish. Well, you could have predicted that. There are always some who call honesty foolish. To them, it would be a simple case of finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Since turning in the money, Mrs. Carden has opened her first savings account in 20 years with a deposit of $700. No, she didn't get a reward for turning the money in. It seems that people heard of her deed and wanted to help a person with such high morals. There is within each of us that impulse which Mrs. Carden spoke of. It's there unless, of course, we've killed it with neglect. It's there to help us make the right decision. Did you notice that Mrs. Carden said her impulse told her it was the right thing to do? That's one reason that that impulse is there, to help us determine right from wrong. For Mrs. Carden, it was a moral decision, not an economic one, which was called for. Money was involved here, but it was no basis for a decision. The only basis for a decision was what was right. Do you think that perhaps business could take a tip from this? For many times, there's a moral decision which overrides an economic one. And maybe even for you and me, there's a hint of help here. To spend our money like we should, with an obligation to do right. If we could follow the example, maybe we could change the fact that we spend twice as much on liquor as on the carpenter's work. Now, admittedly, money, too much or too little of it, for her, you know, no one ever has just the right amount. Creates all kinds of problems for most of us. And we're often tempted to stretch our morals a little to catch up with our money. But is it the money itself that creates the problem? And if you should decide to take the tip and make the change with regards to money and morals, remember Mrs. Carden's other remark. Some people will call you foolish.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Hi, Pastor Jeff Shreve here, sitting in for the Bishop E.W. Jackson. And I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church and the founder of From His Heart Ministries, heard weeknights on American Family Radio at 6 p.m. Central Time. Well, we are talking to Dennis Rainey, the founder of Family Life and the host for 26 years of Family Life Today. And so, Dennis, we're so glad that you remained with us for this segment. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the wonderful little book that you wrote just a couple of years ago, Choosing a Life That Matters, 7 Decisions You'll Never Regret. Can you tell us about this book?
Yeah, I was asked to speak to a graduating seminary class, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School up in Chicago, and I thought, what do you say to a group of young men and women, some older, who have just spent the last 6, 8, maybe even 10 years studying the Scriptures? What do you say after they've heard it all? And I began to go to work on reducing down what were the basic commands of Scripture in our relationship with God, and I came up with 7 of them. And I'll just, we won't get a chance to get to all of these, but I'll just, here's what they were. Seek God, not sin. Fear God, not men. Love God, not the world. Believe God, not the deceiver. That's really relevant today, by the way.
Yes.
Obey God, not your feelings. Worship God, not comfort. And serve God, not self. I'm going to tell you, if parents would take this book and, first of all, digest it spiritually for themselves, and then get in the main book, the Bible, and let that live in them and through them, so that what they're passing on to their children is a living faith. It's not something we take them and drop them off at Sunday school on Sunday morning. It's the encounters that God gives us during the week that we pass on to our kids. Can you believe what God did when I ran into this homeless person on the side of the street, and I gave them a couple of bucks because they needed help, and they need it now? It's a living faith our children need to see.
Yes.
Not one that's in formaldehyde, that's
right.
Two or three generations old. You with me, Jeff?
Yes. Well, Dennis, you know I love this book. I had emailed you when you had sent it to me some years ago and just said, man, this is a personal favorite. It's not very long. It's very easy to digest. I love the way you write. I love how you talk about your own personal experiences. I love the story about the woman calling you up at a Family Life weekend to remember on, I guess that was Saturday night, and she wanted to come up to your room.
That's right. And I'd already talked to Barbara that night, Jeff, and she had been back at the house here. We couldn't afford to bring our wives with us. This was way early in Family Life's development. And we'd hung up, and I tucked into bed and turned on the TV and was watching a movie when the phone rang. And it was not my wife's voice. It was another woman's voice. And she did, as you just said, can I come up? And I said, I don't think so. She said, why? I said, well, two reasons. Number one, I'm happily married, and I just talked to my wife and the mother of, I believe at that time, was our four children we had. And the second reason, I don't think it'd be a good idea for you to come up, is the movie I'm watching is The Ten Commandments.
Very good.
And that's a true story. It was like I couldn't have choreographed that, and I hung up at that point. But there's all kinds of traps being set for us in this culture. And I think what we have to do is know what the Bible teaches and then discern how we're going to fulfill it in our daily lives. And when we come across a test, a temptation, pornography, cheating on income tax, cheating on a business expense report, the presence of God. In fact, one of my mentioned that the non-negotiables about God is fear God, not men. And I love what A.W. Tozer said. He said, this low view of God that has been embraced within the church is the source of hundreds of lesser evils everywhere among us. I think we are in need of a fresh vision of who God is from the Scriptures. He's not weak. He is strong. He is mighty. He is in charge of this planet. And he knows what the listener who's listening to us right now is facing.
Yes.
He's not, he doesn't want to punish us.
No.
But he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross so he wouldn't have to. And if we'll believe in his son for redemption and forgiveness of sins, we can have eternal life. That is the gospel.
Yes.
And when Jesus and Christ invades a person's life, they begin to change from the inside out.
Right.
And I think there's a great need for that, not only in the parents' lives, but also in the kids, and call them to faith. We could share stories right now of all of our kids and how we led them to Christ in various ways, mostly around the family, mostly around bedtime, because they wanted to stall to get out of going to bed. But we gave them the gospel instead, and finally it stuck.
Yes.
And today they're not living perfect lives, but neither are their mother and father. We're struggling just like everybody else. But I think we're involved, you mentioned it in the other segment, we're involved in a relay race. And we've got to pass the baton with clarity and with conviction and sharing our experience of God on an everyday basis with our kids. They want to hear that. They
right.
need to hear that.
Well, Dennis, at First Baptist Texarkana, I use two words a lot in the church, and I talk about we're called to shine. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven, and to share. Share what great things the Lord has uh-huh. done for you and how he had mercy on you. And I tell the parents especially, I said, listen, it's hard to pass along the faith if your kids don't see you shine. If all they see you is telling them stuff that you're not doing yourself, then it's hard for them to latch on to that, because they think you're a hypocrite. And we have a lot of that in homes all across America where, you know, you don't have to, I tell people this, you don't have to be perfect, but you have to be genuine. You have to be true. And talk a little bit about that as you've seen over the years.
Let me tell you the cure for hypocrisy. I got it right here. Every parent listening, every grandparent, every aunt and uncle of a child who's listening right now, needs to find a way in the next week or two over dinner, or maybe take them, your grandkids or your kids out on a date, and share your testimony of how you came to faith in Jesus Christ. There's something about recalling forgiveness of sin and letting others know you are serious about being a Christ follower. That's why when their beady little eyes are looking at you, like they were with me one time, and we were out in the woods cutting down trees, and my son looked at me and said, "Dad, isn't that tree you just cut down on the other side of the fence?" And I said, "It is, son." Well, it took me 6 weeks to repent. What happened was I was reading the Bible. I was reading the Bible, and everywhere I read in Scripture, there were trees. There were trees everywhere. So the city owned the little parcel of land where I shot down one of their oak trees. So I called the city and talked to the guy who manages the property, and I told him who I was and what I'd done. And I made sure my son was there listening to my apology and my repentance. And that guy said, "Well, Mr. Rainbow, those lines out there in the woods are not that exact anyway. Just keep moving." Amen. Well, that guy ended up becoming a good friend.
Yeah.
And I got down on one knee with my son after that. I said, "Son," and I put my hand on his shoulder. He's about 5 years old, as I recall. I said, you may not remember your dad being a perfect man, but I want you to remember him being big enough to repent when he was wrong and an imperfect man." And you don't become less in your children's eyes when you confess your sin. If you handle it appropriately, you'll grow because you're showing them the way of life. What are they going to do 1,000 times in their lifetime? They're going to fail. They're going to disobey God. And they've got to know how to handle it when they do.
Right.
I'm convinced that's why God created the family. And anyway, it's a great privilege to pass on that faith. I have to say, now that we're empty nesters, I really miss it. I really miss having those kids surround my car like a bunch of Indians on a war path with me there. It's just a lot of fun to have a family.
Amen. Thanks so much for being with us, Dennis. I appreciate you.
Friendships is offering an extraordinary opportunity to young men and women who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you'd be interested in? Learn more about Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins January 11th.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
When a young mom in crisis is pregnant and not sure what to do, the Ministry of Preborn is there. This young mom was 18 weeks pregnant and was considering an abortion. She talked with the staff and then met her baby on ultrasound.
After seeing my baby on the screen and hearing the heartbeat, I realized that's my little baby, and we decided to step up and be parents.
Preborn centers lead the nation in providing free ultrasounds and leading young moms to Christ.
The staff comfort us and they let us know that it is well with Jesus, and now here I am today.
Preborn clinics are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the nation and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. To learn how you can help save a baby's life, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
The reason why we have so much division is because we're not standing with one another.
Dr. David Anderson on Focus on the Family Minute.
We're supposed to stand up for the needy. We're supposed to speak up for the voiceless, as Focus on the Family has done for decades. And we're supposed to come behind people and try to make sure that we care for them. You know, Jesus, again, was a gracious, and he reached out to the poor, to the prisoner, to the disabled, to the oppressed. And what happens is when the majority reaches out to serve in a loving, non-arrogant way to the minority, what you're actually doing is you're standing up for them and you're standing with them. Mm-hmm. And if I would stand with you when you're going through struggles, and you would stand with me when I'm going through struggles, we wouldn't have division. Because now we're standing with one another and standing up for one another, yeah, as opposed to standing against one another.
Yeah. More from Dr. Anderson at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Shreve filling in for Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm the pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. Well, we had a great discussion in the last two segments with Dr. Dennis Rainey, a dear friend and such a great man of God, such a great guy who lives out what he preaches, who lives out what he believes. Well, in this segment, we want to take your calls, 1-888-589-8840. That's 1-888-589-8840. And we've been talking about the family. We've been talking about Dennis's book, Choosing a Life That Matters. I encourage you to go online and get that book. It's only 7 chapters, 122 pages. It's a great book to do a men's study or a staff meeting. Do a chapter a week in your staff meeting. It's great for conversations, great to do as a family. And I always dog-ear my books, and so when I find something I like as I'm reading, I dog-ear. Debbie says she can't, my wife, she said, I can't read a book after you read it because it's all marked up and dog-eared. But 122 pages, I probably got half this book dog-eared because Dennis has just great quotes and great stories and great insights into the Scripture, and I just appreciate him so much. Debbie and I have spoken with Family Life Ministries for about 15 years now, doing marriage conferences around the country. And, you know, Dennis started Family Life way back when, 40-something years ago, and just recently retired from Family Life Ministries and is continuing to serve the Lord. And so we praise the Lord for him and for his 26 grandkids. Wow, 6 children, 26 grandchildren. That is creating a tribe. So I'd love to take your calls, 1-888-589-8840. We can talk about the things we talked about today, or if you just have a question on what's going on in our world or a question about the Scripture, love to help you with that and see what I can do to answer your question. I love to search the Scriptures and find answers to the problems of the day and to see what does God have to say, because God is a right now God. He is the God who is not the God of the I was. He's not the great I was. He's not the great I will be. He's the great I am. And right now he is present. He is current. He sees everything that's going on in our world. I was reading today in my quiet time about Jacob. And Jacob was being cheated by his father-in-law, Laban. And the Lord says to Jacob, I have seen how Laban has done you wrong. And I've seen how he has cheated you. He changed his wages 10 times. You remember he substituted the older daughter, Leah, when Jacob thought he was working for the younger daughter, Rachel. And the Lord has seen all that, and the Lord sees what's going on in your life and mine and our world, and he wants to make a difference. Well, right now we have John from Mississippi. John, welcome to the broadcast.
First off, I want to say I listen to you every night at 6 o'clock. You have become one of my favorite pastors.
Oh, thank you.
Along with Adrian Rogers and all the rest of those guys. So,
yeah.
I want to ask you a question. It's almost a loaded question, but I value your opinion. Okay, Bill Gates has a patent on all vaccines, and the patent number that he has is W02020060606666. And I'm thinking, oh, that's just a coincidence. Is it? Or is this, like I say, it's kind of a loaded question, but I don't know. But my wife and I do not want to take the vaccine. Anyway, that wouldn't be mark of the beast, for lack of a better way to pose this question.
Yeah.
That's
a good question, John. No, I don't think it is. The mark of the beast is going to come about when the Antichrist is revealed and when he sets up his kingdom and his power, probably in the second half of the tribulation period. The tribulation period is 7 years, and it's when the Antichrist, at the middle of the tribulation, that's when he says, he shuts down sacrifice and offerings, and he says, no, no more worshiping God. I am God. You worship me. And I think that's when he makes people get the mark, the 666. It's the number of his name, and people have to swear allegiance to the Antichrist. So it's not going to be a bait and switch or something that he slips through. This is going to be, you get the mark or you get killed. Because you can't buy or sell unless you have the mark. So this could be a precursor to that. This could be a foreshadowing of that. Because it's going to be probably something similar in terms of, if they say, hey, if you don't get this vaccine, you can't fly on airplanes, you can't work in certain industries, you can't do this, you can't do that. So from that aspect, there could be some similarities. But when the Antichrist comes and the mark of the beast, it's going to be very clear to everybody, this is what I'm doing and this is what I am swearing my allegiance to. And a Christian can't do it. And a Christian will have to say, there's no way. It's kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, King, we can't bow to your image. I don't care if you give us another try at this. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us, but let it be known, even if he doesn't deliver us, let it be known to you, O King, that we're not going to bow to your image, we're not going to serve your gods. And that is going to be the stand of Christians during the tribulation period, true Christians, and because of that, many of them are going to die. Well, thanks so much for that call, John, and thanks so much for listening. I appreciate your encouragement. Wanted to give the number again. It's 1-888-589-8840. That's 1-888-589-8840. Love to take your call and answer any question that you have. I love Bible prophecy, and I love to see what the Lord says about the future. Now, he doesn't make it super clear, because the book of the Revelation is written in such a way, it doesn't say, you know, and on this day this happens and the next day that happens. God gives us a vision of what is coming down the pike, and it's going to be terrible and horrible for those who miss the rapture. I believe that the rapture comes before the tribulation period. I believe that the rapture comes before the Antichrist is revealed, And so for those who are trying to figure out who is the Antichrist, if you figure out, my friend Dr. Ed Heinsohn says, if you figure out who the Antichrist is, guess what? You've been left behind, because you're not going to know who the Antichrist is. He's not going to be revealed until after the rapture, when God removes his bride, his church, from the world. Then that man of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. So we have much to look forward to. As I said at the start of this broadcast, hey, when we see everything and all the difficult times and the squeeze coming on believers and persecution that I believe is going to start coming to America like it's been in other countries for so long, and that's when Jesus said, look up and be watchful, for your redemption is drawing near. And God has, he has a good plan for his children. I like what Joseph Tison, he is a pastor, or was a pastor in Romania. He said in Romania, when they would go through persecution, he said, we didn't ask God to take it away. We asked God to help us to be faithful in the persecution so that we would be able to stand and we would be able to shine for the Lord and give a testimony much like Stephen gave, when even in the midst of being stoned, he honored Jesus. And when he got through with his testimony and his sermon, the Lord stood. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The Lord gave him a standing ovation. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And so that is the heart, the desire for every true believer, that we would live a life and be faithful to the Lord and hear him say at the end of it all, well done, my good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Well, we have a little bit of time, 1-888-589-8840, if you'd like to call. Just to give you a preview of tomorrow's program, I'll be here all week. Tomorrow, we welcome Bill Federer to the broadcast, and I'll be interviewing him. Bill Federer is an American historian, actually a world historian. He's written many, many books, and we're going to talk about socialism and the implications of that in American life. Right now we have Virgil in Mississippi. Virgil, you're on the air.
Hello. This is probably the first time I've listened to this program, and I find it very interesting, and I find it you're very knowledgeable about the Bible, because so far what I've heard you say goes in line with what I believe. But my comment was like that last caller, well, I don't know if it's the last one, but when he made the comment that him and his wife didn't want to take that shot because he was wondering, was it in line with the mark of the beast? Well, Monday a week ago in a local newspaper down here, they had one of the ingredients that's in that shot, and they put it in print, and it was in the Sun Herald in Biloxi, Mississippi, that said that they took an abstract out of an aborted baby's kidneys. That's one of the things in the shot. And when I read that in the paper Monday a week ago, I said, there's no way I'm taking that shot.
Yeah. Well, I'm concerned about taking the shot, too. I've had some, my daughter's taken the shot. She's in the medical field, and But I'm on the fence on taking the shot. So I'm with you on that one, Virgil. Well, thanks so much for listening, everybody. And I look forward to being back with you next time, tomorrow at this time. And until then, worship the Lord, put him first, serve him with all your heart. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.